This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Accelerate your day with today's business headlines with Volvo Cars.
8:46 right now, you're listening to The Morning Run. Melissa Han and Giri here with you as we take a look at the top business headlines of the day. We are kicking things off with a look at expectations for July's inflation figures. That's set to be released in just a few hours, I think at noon today. Mm-hmm. Now, RAM Ratings expects the zero-rated GST to provide a cushion in terms of limiting inflationary pressures on Malaysia's July inflation rate, which is projected to come in at about 1%. If you compare that in June, it was 0.8%.
So RAM Ratings says, in view of the deflationary pressure from the change in the taxation system, coupled with lower fuel prices from the reinstatement of fuel subsidies and persistently weak growth trajectory for food prices, overall inflation is expected to average 1.3% this year.
Yeah, 1.3% for this year. Let's dive into some more numbers here. According to the Bloomberg survey's median estimate, it calls for 0.9%. That's the expected CPI numbers due out at noon today.
Okay, so slightly lower than I guess, RAM Ratings expectations.
Yeah, slightly lower, you know, but just 10 basis points higher compared to the 0.8% CPI that we saw in June of this year.
But, you know, Giri, you mentioned the, fuel prices, right? If you compare that on a year-on-year basis, if you look at July 2017, transport fuel was really seen as a trigger to higher inflation at that point in time. I think RON 95 petrol was 1 ringgit 96 cents per litre at that point in time, against what is now the current subsidized level. So I guess perhaps now we're seeing, we may be seeing that is less of a pressure this year.
Yeah, less of a pressure. Now, here's what all these numbers actually mean, okay? It doesn't mean that prices are not rising. Prices are rising based on the consumer price index, but just the pace of growth or the steepness of that chart there, it's not as steep as compared in the past.
Right.
If you look at 0.9, 0.8%, you know, for example, June's numbers, 0.8%, that was the lowest in 40 months. Now, why is that significant? Guess what? Because 40 months ago, that was the months before GST kicked in.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So GST came in April 1st, 2015. Yeah, a couple months before that, you saw 0.1, 0.9%. Yeah.
I have an image of Han, you know, on his prison cell, counting of the months, scratching it off, GST 1 month, hey, next month.
No. At the end of the day, if you're imagining me in a prison cell, all you got to know is I did not do it, okay?
So I didn't do it.
Wasn't you in that tax evasion?
Yeah.
They all say that. All right, well, coming back, speaking about the sales tax, the SST, that's set to come into effect next month, the Customs Department has released a list of proposed sales tax rates. Now, this is 121 pages, so you can go through that at your leisure over the weekend.
Yeah.
But if we could summarize it for you, there were items that were earlier proposed to be tax exempt, things like smartphones and cars and personal hygiene products, cleaning tools even. But now in this updated list, it looks like some of these items that are proposed could be seeing 5 to 10% of sales tax.
So now smartphones have they've proposed a 5% tax on it, and with most motor vehicles, it has suggested that application of a 10% full 10% charge. However, with completely knocked down vehicles, there is an exemption from the sales tax. The personal hygiene items are a little bit worrying because now to be clean is going to cost you 10% more.
Oh no, deodorant is more expensive. Yeah. That doesn't bode well for the morning run.
Deodorant, bad breath. Oh, sorry. Deodorant, toothpaste, toothbrush, and soap. It's going to be.
But guess what? They offer that for free in prison, though.
I really wouldn't know, but yeah, I'll take your word for it.
One of the things that's really interesting in this list, guys, is chocolate malt drinks. So this includes the 3-in-1 variety, as well as anything, you know, even the oats, the ones with oats, anything containing cocoa. Well, it's proposed to be subjected to 10% sales tax.
Yeah. So, you know, if you think chocolate malt drinks, there is a brand there that starts with M, ends with ILO. So, you know, given the elevated levels of consumption of that particular chocolate drink there, yeah, you know, it could see that 10% sales tax. I mean, we'll see if that really curbs the level of spending, not just for that particular product, but also just F&B in general, right? Because it's not just chocolate malt drinks. You're talking about other edible items, sauces, dressings. Those could be subjected to that 5% tax now instead of being exempted.
Is that seen to be perhaps a luxury item now? I mean, is chocolate seen as a luxury item? Or is it perhaps part of a kind of sugar tax, right?
Well, yeah, and this is before that sugar tax that's being mulled actually comes into play. Again, if it comes into play, right? So could that add to the inflationary pressures when it comes to, you know, our, you know, what we consume, what we eat out there?
Our vices, perhaps?
Well,
speaking about vices.
Don't say that about M. Hilo.
Yeah. Well, speaking of vices, going along the health lines again, one of the favorite areas where the government loves to increase its revenue is from sin taxes. This is basically for tobacco and spirits. They will be subject to a 10% sales tax. Now, according to an executive director at Grant Thornton, on top of the 10% sales tax, a 6% service tax will also be charged to consumers purchasing alcohol or tobacco at F&B outlets.
Wow, so if you are at a restaurant and you're, you know, buying, you're making alcohol consumption purchase, then you're charged twice, right? So you've got the 6% sales service charge as well as the 10% sales tax.
Yeah, then on top of that, again, you know, it's what comes next, that sugar tax or perhaps that sin tax as well. Just for comparison, in India, when they roll out their GST, their sin tax is 28%. This is under the GST regime, but they've got four tiers. One of the tiers, highest tier on luxury and sin goods, 28%.
Wow. Okay. Well, speaking about taxes, on the back of that revelation that some 19 billion ringgit in terms of GST refunds have not been paid since 2015, we have the Ministry of Finance saying they need more time to remedy this situation. And they're saying that they will only be able to return the input tax credits beginning next year. In response to this, the Malaysian manufacturers are not very happy. They want the government to provide a clear action plan.
So what they're saying is that they spoke to a press in conjunction with the release of the FMM Amir Business Condition Survey first half of 2018 results, and said that while conducting the survey, they found that at least 100 FMM members were affected by 245 million ringgit worth of delayed GST funds.
Yeah, so it's not just the FMM. You're also looking at, say, the Malaysian Iron and Steel Industry Federation. They are also echoing a similar request here. You know, in short, their members there are facing cash flow constraints because they're still waiting on these funds. So they want the government to, you know, act faster, sooner rather than later, right? Now, this seems to tie in with a broader narrative that's out there as well. Because on one hand, it's great that the MOF is in full transparency, exposing, you know, all these issues and bottlenecks. But ultimately, what investors and the business community wants to find out are these clear action plans. And
sure,
hopefully, we'll get that come November 2nd when Budget 2019 is announced.
Oh, is that the date? November 2nd?
November 2nd.
Okay, yeah. So, you know, perhaps more clarity for the business community then. But if we could very quickly shift our focus to Alibaba, where they have Alibaba has a reported mixed fiscal first quarter earnings. Looking at revenue, it soared some 61% year on year, and this was really boosted by its e-commerce business and its as well as its cloud division. But if you take a look at its earnings, that really fell short of expectations.
Yeah, you know, because you've got all this inorganic growth out there. You know, recall that Alibaba earlier this year increased their stake in Lazada. They've gone about increasing their presence in the entertainment scene, in their cloud computing business as well. So that has lent itself towards that 61% growth in top line there. But shareholders not so convinced, though, because over there in New York, Alibaba shares ended the day down 3.2%. So because net profit also fell, right? So you've got this mixed bag of results here. Ultimately, whether or not investors will be patient enough to see these acquisitions or this inorganic growth really, you know, feed through the numbers, we'll have to kind of wait and see. But I guess to be fair, Alibaba did pretty well in relation to its tech giant counterparts. I'm talking about Tencent. Yeah, that was dismal.
Yeah, a large part of their growth was actually wasn't organic, it was inorganic,
right,
by acquisition.
That
would have affected top line quite significantly. So that would have been where the boost would have come from to a large extent. But bottom line, as you had mentioned earlier, was not very healthy at the end of the day. So Tencent, on the other hand, they actually started with the first profit drop in the last decade. This is from August 16th, when we reported in August 16th, actually. So Tencent stock is down actually 25% from its highs of the year due to disappointing numbers in the most recent earnings report. Tencent joined Facebook in reporting shockingly poor quarterly numbers about 2 weeks ago. And this is basically underscoring how tech giants that led the market to new highs are showing signs of strain.
Well, if we could come back very quickly to that inorganic growth that you guys were talking about, you know, I mean, looking at all the things that Jack Ma has bought, really expanding in the retail space. I think they've spent 40 billion ringgit since 2016 on traditional retailers. So they've been expanding their Hema supermarket chain. They are buying into the retail sector. So going brick and mortar. Maybe.
Yeah, that's right. Not just brick and mortar, but obviously into the food industry as well. I mean, that is an industry over there in China that's worth $1.3 trillion. So they've got that app. They acquired this food delivery platform called Elmi, or is it Elmi? I'm not sure. ELE.ME. This was back in April. Yeah, so out there on this massive acquisitions spree, their net income dropping by over 40%, right? Not perhaps as rattling to investors compared to what Tencent saw. Tencent's big profit drop that you mentioned earlier, Giri, that was its biggest profit drop in about a decade there. So, sure. Yeah, you know, I guess all things considered, you know, seems to be bucking the trend when it comes to the other tech giants. But, you know, I think this is a wait-and-see game in terms of Alibaba's performance moving forward, not just in terms of its share price, but also top line and bottom line.
Okay. Well, we'll come back and take a look at some of the local stocks making headlines this morning and how that's affecting their share price when the market opens, which is set to open in just a couple minutes. We'll bring you the opening numbers from Bursa Malaysia in the 9 o'clock news bulletin. That's coming up next on BFM 89.9.
Fuel your business drive with a Volvo S90 T8 twin engine. So cost efficient, it makes good business sense. Volvo, made by Sweden.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.